Welcome to the Manufacturing Executive Podcast, where we explore the strategies and experiences that are driving mid-sized manufacturers forward. Here, you'll discover new insights from passionate manufacturing leaders who have compelling stories to share about their successes and struggles. And you'll learn from B2B sales and marketing experts about how to apply actionable business development strategies inside your business. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to another episode of the Manufacturing Executive Podcast. I'm Joe Sullivan, your host and a co-founder of the industrial marketing agency Gorilla 76, where we help B2B manufacturers grow through revenue-focused marketing programs. Managing fixed labor costs is hard enough in a complex manufacturing environment. Then you throw in a pandemic on top of it that only deepens an already problematic labor market. You sprinkle in supply chain disruption of all shapes and sizes, and you add some economic uncertainty to the mix. What you're left with is lots of confusion and stress about how to plan for labor in your business. In today's conversation, my guest will talk about how we need to start thinking differently about staffing. And more specifically, he'll introduce a concept that his company refers to as on-demand labor planning. Let me introduce him. Adam Rubot is the Director of Operations Intelligence at Variable, an on-demand labor marketplace for manufacturing and logistics businesses. Adam currently leads the development of Variable's workforce management tool, a demand-driven labor scheduling tool allowing supply chain businesses to optimize their labor costs per unit while ensuring customer satisfaction. Adam is an industrial engineer who has previously held roles in e-commerce operations, varying from designing building layouts, managing multi-million dollar capital projects, and also managing the day-to-day operations of a 1 million square foot fulfillment center. Adam took his passion and learnings of managing the labor landscape with logistics and manufacturing to join forces with Variable and redefine the labor paradigm. Adam now works with businesses to teach them how to adopt an on-demand labor model, which allows businesses to match their labor with their demand, ensuring an efficient and resilient operation. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, tell me a little bit more about kind of, you know, your journey, what led you to where you are today as Director of Operations Intelligence at Variable.
You bet. So an industrial engineer by background and essentially immediately out of college, worked for a big retailer, specifically in the e-commerce fulfillment space. And so just started kind of doing the basic industrial engineering things like optimizing the layout of a fulfillment center, putting a lot of different conveyor systems in, things like that. But worked my way up through the operations team. And really every single year I kind of banged my head against the wall because really through like the Amazon effect of all of the different companies, we know that we need to get, you know, customer orders to them as fast as possible. And with varying demand in a fixed workforce, it was almost impossible. And so we would take different tactics like hiring 4,000 people just for Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And so you're hiring, you know, that many people for just a couple of weeks. It's incredibly hard to train that many people and just get that many people in the door. And so every single year, I tried to figure out what a better solution, you know, could be for that. And that is when I heard a Variable, and that was the solution I was looking for all along. And so ended up joining the team at Variable. And since then, I've really been focused on our product team, working with different customers to learn what they need and building a different or a suite of products for our businesses to really manage the labor landscape as efficient and quickly as possible.
I'm really interested to get into this topic today of, you know, on-demand labor or how, you know, being able to match supply and demand of labor as it fluctuates, because I think it's something that a lot of listeners here are always dealing with in their business. But before we kind of go down that path, I would love to just sort of hear from you. You know, I've had a lot of conversations that were right around episode 200 or so. This show has been running for about 4 years and, you know, started in the thick of the pandemic and things got really messy with labor. And so I'm just kind of curious, like, to get a pulse from somebody who's right in the middle of the world of manufacturing workforce. You know, what are you seeing out there right now? What patterns or trends have you observed over the last few years? Like, where are we now versus where we were a couple of years ago even?
So like you mentioned, things have been extremely volatile for, you know, really the last 4 years. And I'll kind of start there in 2020. And so obviously the pandemic changed a lot of the different buying patterns and all the different demand that businesses see. And so really in March 2020, obviously a lot of different businesses just simply shut down and they needed to down cycle their operations immediately. And so unfortunately that meant, you know, letting some of their staff go. But then by, you know, June, July, things started to pick back up and now businesses actually couldn't keep up with their demand, right? They didn't have the workforce to ship out or produce the orders that they needed to produce. And so even today, as current as 2024, 40% of the working age population isn't in the workforce. I mean, they're not looking for a full-time job. And as you can imagine, in the middle of 2020, that number was much higher for various reasons, whether it's, you know, health reasons, childcare, whatever it may be. But businesses were essentially always behind their demand in terms of labor during 2020, and they couldn't ramp up with their demand quickly. And so what that meant is, you know, customer lead times increased and essentially everybody got their, you know, products later. That really continued through 2021. And so businesses were trying to find as much labor as they could. And, you know, they were relying on, you know, tapping into different solutions and like a variable, like an on-demand labor marketplace. But, you know, they were looking at every single angle they could find just to make sure that they could, you know, meet up or keep their customer demands. But then in 2022, I would say that's when we started to feel a little bit of a shift, that it was really tied to interest rates starting to increase. Volumes were starting to stabilize and even decrease. And so during that time, businesses were trying to hire, you know, continue to get their baseline, you know, workforce up. And the moment that they were able to succeed doing that, that's when things shifted back down. And so now businesses really at the back half of 2022 and then all of 2023, they were pretty overstaffed where their demand is now dropping, but they were chasing their, you know, tail the entire time trying to keep up with the demand. And now they're overstaffed. And unfortunately, as you've probably seen throughout 2023 and even early here into 2024, as businesses have had to lay off some of their workforces, they simply don't have the demand, you know, to keep their current workforce. And so that's really where we find ourselves today is we do see a lot of the businesses are probably overstaffed where they just don't have the volume to be able to employ that many people.
Interesting. And do you see that happening mostly, you know, this sort of more recent problem of now being overstaffed as opposed to under? Are you seeing that more on the front lines in manufacturing workforces or like across the companies at different levels?
Yeah, it's actually across the companies, and especially, you know, if you look at in the tech sector as well, it's definitely happened where a lot of businesses bought into the different demand trends and the increases they saw in 2020, 2021. But we're definitely seeing it on the front lines as well as, yeah, businesses specifically, they saw the demand happening and increasing. They tried to hire to that level and then it snapped back down and now, you know, they're caught overstaffed.
Okay, well, I think it's a good lead in to kind of the main thing I want to talk about today, which is I think where variable and you know your expertise lies, which is in this kind of how do you address that fluctuation. But how do you find that most manufacturing organizations will typically approach labor planning, and what problems do you see as like, you know, kind of surfacing as a result of that?
I'll answer in kind of two different ways and talk through how they plan on the long term for their labor and then also how they handle kind of the short term planning or the day to day fluctuations. And so from a long term standpoint, they really plan to historical averages. So it'll vary by businesses. Maybe they'll take a 6 month, 9 month, you know, 12 month moving average and say, okay, this is what our demand has looked like for the past year. That's how much, you know, staff we need within our operations. And so as you can imagine with what's been happening, you know, for the past 4 years, that average was always below what they really needed in 2020, 2021. And so that's why they were always, you know, understaffed. And then the moment they kept trying to, you know, catch back up to that average, then all of a sudden it dipped. And so now in 2022, when they finally got to the average that they wanted to get to, all of a sudden their demand drops and then they're stuck being overstaffed. And so there's a big issue with staffing to that average because, you know, it's always a lagging indicator and you're not looking forward. And so that's how a lot of businesses handle it from a long-term standpoint. But then also from the short term is there's obviously a lot of different, you know, daily fluctuations that businesses have. So when we work with businesses, we may say, hey, how many people do you need tomorrow? And they may say, you know, I need 105 people, but maybe they have 100 full-time employees, right? So what do they do to try to fill that gap of five? And then the next day, they may need 90 people, right? And so they're 10 people overstaffed. And so what do they do there? They usually just carry the extra cost. And so the other disadvantage of staffing to that average is it's kind of like the saying, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. Well, the average might be right twice a month, right? But there's all these kind of varying fluctuations that happen in the day-to-day basis that businesses just can't keep up with because they have a fixed workforce and they're only looking at the average. And then the biggest thing that we see when we work with a lot of these different businesses is it is still, unfortunately, a $2 trillion industry that's managed by Excel. And so that example that I just walked through of asking them, hey, how many people do you need tomorrow? That's not an easy answer for them to get a lot of the times. Is they'll, what you'll watch them do is go to their different systems, download a bunch of spreadsheets, take those spreadsheets, cobble them together, one kind of mega spreadsheet, all managed in Excel, right? So there's usually only one person that's really managing this process. And they'll say, okay, I need, you know, 10 people in this area, 12 people in this area, 15 people in this area to produce, you know, the 30,000 units that we need to produce. And then we'll ask them, okay, so if you need 100 people, how many do you have? And, you know, then they'll take more spreadsheets, cobble those together and say, okay, I have 90 and I'm short in these different areas. I'm maybe over in these other areas. And it takes them a while to, you know, get that clear picture of how, you know, right sized is my workforce. And so that's the other piece that we really see with businesses is they have a hard time essentially moving up and down real time with their demand, even if they know what it is.
So I know at Variable, you guys, this is kind of where you found your niche is kind of helping address this problem. Talk a little bit about what you guys are doing there and how you're tackling it from a different angle.
So we tackle it from a couple of different ways. And so overall, Variable is a digital manufacturing tool that help businesses create operational flexibility. And at the core of that is we are an on-demand labor marketplace that allows businesses to tap into a flexible workforce. And so businesses, let's say I'm a operations manager, plant manager, and I know I need five more people tomorrow. They can post on our platform and say, hey, I need five workers for tomorrow. It's truly a marketplace. And so bids will come in above or below what they're requesting the work to be done at. Maybe it's $150 for, you know, tomorrow. And what these plant managers, operation managers can see is they'll see all the different operators that want to come in and work tomorrow. And they'll see their living, breathing resumes saying, okay, Billy has worked at five similar plants in my area. He's got 200 ops, which stands for work opportunities in our platform. And he's, you know, a 5 out of 5 star. So obviously Billy's going to come in and crush it. And over time, what businesses can do is they can bring in different workers from the Variable platform and build what we call a labor pool, which is a flexible pool of workers that they can tap into at a moment's notice. And so really, everything I just walked through with staffing to the average, we throw it out the window when we work with our businesses. And what we tell them is, hey, instead of taking the average of your demand, you should really look at your minimum demand. And so let's say they do that same 12-month, you know, analysis and say, okay, I know on my lowest day, I needed 100 people in my building. And so what we would tell them is, all right, that's your workforce. So that's your fixed workforce or your full-time workforce. And then if they have 100, you know, FTs or full-time employees, and let's say the next day they need 110 people, what we would tell them is, all right, you post for 10 operators on a platform like Variable or any other platform to go get a flexible, you know, workforce to tap into. So then they would, you know, bring in the 10 workers that day. They have perfectly matched their labor with their demand that day. And then let's say the next day, it was maybe a slower day and they only need 100 people. Well, they don't need to post for anything on the Variable platform. And now their costs are stabilized and, you know, and they're not overstaffed. And then, you know, it just kind of goes on and on from there where maybe the next day they have a huge spike and they need 130 people in the building. Well, they can quickly go get 30 people on the platform so that they are always moving their labor with their demand every single day. And what that does is allows businesses to kind of flip the equation of usually they have a fixed workforce, which forces a varying labor cost per unit. So, you know, they may not be as efficient one day as the next, but what we allow them to do is really keep their labor cost per unit fixed and then have, you know, a varying workforce or a flexible workforce to ensure that they're being as efficient every single day. That's the main way that Variable has allowed businesses to embrace a flexible labor model to be able to move their labor with their demand. But then Variable's also become a suite of tools where we have also built a workforce management tool to address kind of the second issue that I called out, where these businesses are still managing their operations with Excel, and they don't have a clear picture of all the people they need versus all the people they have and things like that. And so we actually have a software platform that will take all the different pieces of data that businesses need to say, hey, tomorrow I know I need to produce 30,000 units. That means I need 10 people in this area, 15 people on this line, 17 people here, whatever it would be. And then it shows them the discrepancies or the gaps they have in their labor. So let's say they needed 10 people in this area, but, you know, two of those people, you know, are on PTO for the next day, so they only have 8. Well, how am I going to go fix that gap of 2? I can pull people from a different work area, which is always the first option. I could maybe run some overtime, which usually has a cost to it in terms of not only just, you know, the actual cost you're paying workers, but, you know, sometimes the burnout as well. Or I can go tap into a flexible workforce as well, like variable. And so those are really the two ways that we are working with businesses to solve all the issues there with that current labor equation.
Okay, let's take a quick break here. I want to let a couple of our strategists at Gorilla 76 tell you about something pretty cool that we're doing right now for marketing folks in the manufacturing sector. Peyton and Brendan, take it away.
So I'm Peyton Warren.
And I'm Brendan Forrest.
Twice a month, we host a live event called Industrial Marketing Live.
Right now, we have a group of 50 plus industrial marketers from a variety of manufacturing organizations that meet up digitally to learn, ask questions, network, and get smarter.
Every session has a designated topic, and one of our team members at Gorilla 76 opens up by teaching for the first half hour or so. Topics have included how to do a better manufacturing webinar, getting started with paid social on LinkedIn, how to optimize your website for conversions, creating amazing video content, and so much more.
After we break it down, we open it up to Q&A so we can help you apply all of this in your own businesses.
This is pure value, no cost, no strings attached, no product or service pitches, just a 100% unadulterated learning experience.
And on top of these live sessions, we've also opened up a Slack channel where attendees bounce ideas off each other and learn together between sessions.
We're building a true community of manufacturing marketing professionals here. So if you or someone at your company has the word marketing in his or her job title, please consider telling them about it. They can visit industrialmarketinglive.com to register.
We'd love to see you there.
Yeah, really interesting model. Both things that you mentioned there. Coming around to the first part that you talked about, I imagine 2-3 years ago, I mean, so many companies couldn't even staff the, you know, use the example of minimum, needing a minimum of 100 people, like couldn't even get that, you know, base staff in. As you know, you've talked about how you've observed, you know, there being overstaffed companies now, which is putting other people back into people that aren't employed that are out there available for work. I guess my question is, so are you finding that there's enough available labor out there where if, you know, we know we should have 100 staffed, like salaried employees, and there's, we could need anywhere between 5 and 10 more on any given day. There's enough of a pool and a consistent pool of people that they can grab somebody in literally less than a day's time and pull them in and put them on a production line or whatever it might be.
That's really the beauty of our platform. And being 100% honest in this, where when a business posts out for a certain amount of workers, we actually get them flooded with so many workers that they essentially have, you know, kind of their choice of, you know, all of these different workers to choose from in their operation. So we actually don't see an issue with being able to, you know, ensure that we are able to, or there's enough labor for them to move with their demand. And the reason for that is a lot of the workers on our platform aren't looking for full-time jobs. And so, like I mentioned, with 40% of the work or working age population being outside of the workforce, you know, we'll have people that already have a full-time job and they're looking for a little bit extra income, and maybe they have off days on Saturday and Sunday. Or maybe it's a single parent who, you know, has childcare on Monday and Wednesdays. And so they can really work Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays and things like that. And so we tap into kind of that extra, you know, labor that's out there. And, you know, there's also workers on our platform that do use it as their primary source of income. But, you know, we're pretty agnostic to that, where we just allow workers to come on the platform, bid on the work, and the marketplace truly does work itself out in terms of being able to get the businesses what they need.
Yeah, that's super cool. It's like when you hear of a concept like this, I'm like, okay, that sounds interesting in theory, but you know, there's actually enough labor and plenty of it. And I think it's really interesting that you guys have a ratings system so that it's not just, well, I hope this guy who comes in and fills the hole we have tomorrow is, you know, actually shows up. And I think like there's some credibility that's created at a personal level, and I suppose at a company level, not unlike being a an Uber driver slash passenger or other, you know, when you look at other marketplaces and apps that have emerged over the last decade, I suppose, huh?
I'll be honest here and transparent, as we are truly a marketplace compared to an Uber, where obviously when you take a ride, they're selecting the driver for you. When a business, you know, posts an what we call an op, they're going to see all of the workers, evaluate all the resumes, and they get to select who they want, right? And so it's truly a marketplace. And the beauty is the meritocracy of the marketplace, like you just mentioned, is that rating system. And we only work with businesses in the manufacturing and logistics sector. And so with that type of consistency and the work that's on the platform, it's if Billy came in and did, you know, or if Billy's resume shows that he's done, you know, 100 different ops of forklift at a different, you know, warehouse or manufacturing sites, you can guarantee that he's going to be able to drive a forklift compared to, you know, someone just saying, hey, I'm forklift certified. And so that's really the beauty of the marketplace is since we are specifically in that manufacturing sector and they're getting ratings from other businesses that are right down the street from you, that's kind of the beauty and the flywheel that we see that happens.
That makes a lot of sense. You're kind of both choosing each other as opposed to just being assigned, right? So what are some of the positions, Adam, that, you know, job roles or, you know, actual positions in a manufacturing facility that tend to be the ones that are easier to, you know, flex up and down in this way? I imagine, I mean, there's certain roles, obviously, that lots of roles that require experience and training and tribal knowledge and things like that. And there are others that it's, you know, follow these instructions. And as long as you follow the process, you know, you could literally plug anybody in a day's notice. So like, what are some of those positions that tend to work really well inside your system?
A lot of like the assembly positions, you know, where someone's got kind of one task to do on that line. That's a great first start for like a business's first ops on the platform. And then they begin to upskill some of the operators as they come in too, is we have kind of a, what we call like a tagging system where they can mark, you know, different operators as, hey, they know this skill or they know that skill within their operation. But we teach businesses a lot of different plays and we really assess each business individually. And so some businesses we put under what we call like the orthodontist story, where maybe if I'm sure you've been in a dentist office, but the orthodontist is not spending their time, you know, cleaning the teeth, right? They come in for that 1 minute inspection because they are maximizing their time at their exact skill that's extremely highly paid. And so that's what we teach a lot of different manufacturers too, is if you go in and you go assess, you know, maybe a mid-sized manufacturer and you say, all right, who's like your highest skilled machine operator? And then if you evaluate, you know, Jim, let's say, who's on that machine, he may be actually operating that machine 20 or 30% of the time. And then he's got 70% of his time doing smaller tasks like prep work or whatever it may be. Well, what we tell them is, all right, utilize variable operators to go and knock out that 70% of work. So then Jim's time is truly spent doing the skill that, you know, he is best at and that he has, you know, the skill for. And so that's one way that we work with businesses initially. But over time, as businesses essentially continue to build that labor pool, like I mentioned, the operators come in and they learn those skills as well. And so they are able to operate different machines. But we usually work with each business individually to kind of figure out, all right, what's the best way for you to ramp into a labor pool and learn, you know, what's the best way to evaluate each operator that comes in as well.
Adam, are there any success stories or specific use cases that are kind of worth talking about to kind of create some context? Just love for our, you know, make this a little more tangible by using some real examples.
So a couple of success stories that I love to talk about. So in the Michigan area, we work with a lot of different tier one automotive suppliers, as you could imagine. We actually work with a company, they're called ADAC Automotive. I just did a case study with them. It's on our website. But they actually had heard of us from a different news story that a local Michigan news source sent out with another tier one automotive supplier. They found us and said, hey, you know, we're pretty much at the mercy of the big OEMs like the Ford, the Stellantis and everybody there. And so we have very fluctuating demand. We obviously can't turn orders away. So if they ask for something, you know, that they needed tomorrow or whatever, we have no choice but to get it done. And what they were essentially doing to solve for that is really burning out their workforce. So, right, if someone was supposed to come in on an 8 or 10 hour shift, they were maybe working 12, and you can only do that for so long because then you start getting in that vicious cycle of kind of the attrition, the fallout, then you hire, but then you burn them out again, and it just continues to happen. And so they tapped into Variable to really plug into those gaps and to allow their workforce, one, to stabilize their normal working hours, but then allow themselves to take on any order that came their way and make sure that they were hitting their lead times. That's one that I really like to share. And then this is on the downside of it is there was also, you know, a UAW strike that happened for about 6 weeks where their demand, you know, specifically went down, as you could imagine. And so with variable, they were able to quickly downsize where if you, you know, have a fixed workforce, you're usually holding on to those costs. You don't have many other options. And so usually your bottom lines get hit pretty hard. And so even as they were able to ramp up, they were also able to feel the benefits ramping down. One other, I guess, use case or success story that I love to talk about is we specifically worked with a company called Arctic, if you're familiar with their coolers or their tumblers.
I own one, actually. Yes.
Beautiful. And so they've used us for, I think, the past 4 or 5 years and essentially helping with, you know, different seasonal spikes, as you can imagine. The Black Friday, Cyber Monday, as well as the summer periods are extremely busy for them. But they essentially started a kind of a custom shop. So you could, you know, if you were a business, you could get your whole team, you know, customized tumblers with your logo or whatever that you wanted on them. And so they were utilizing variable in that specific custom shop. But then what they wanted to try to do was make that a B2C function as well. So just one person, you know, could go in, you know, design a quick tumbler, you know, maybe for, you know, a family member for Christmas or whatever it may be. And so they launched a website called My Arctic where, you know, just individuals could go in and order, you know, one product. And when they launched it, they actually only used variable operators to go fulfill those orders and make those products. And so that was something that, you know, you're not able to try if you don't have a flexible workforce, because you can't just move, you know, your fixed workforce over there to go do that and just forget about your main business or the core of your business. And so what they were able to do is really create another arm within their business by utilizing a variable workforce there to test out a different segment.
Adams, you kind of look down the road to the future of the manufacturing workforce, especially in light of just all the disruption over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or so. How do you see the manufacturing workforce evolving, changing in a more permanent way, or do you?
I think just with all of the different volatility that every single business is seeing, you are going to see them start to adapt more of these flexible labor models. That staffing to the average that we've talked through, it just isn't going to work. And we're seeing it not work, you know, for the past 4 years. And so you're going to continue to see all of these different businesses really adapt to, all right, I need to have, you know, some part of my workforce be fixed, obviously, and then also have this tangible asset of a flexible workforce that I can tap in to be able to, you know, meet all of the customer demands, is because the demands from the customer are only going to get harder, right? We're going to, you know, have shorter lead times, you know, it's going to be more unpredictable. And the only response to that is just to embrace it and just be able to flex up and down with your workforce as fast as possible.
Well, Adam, really great conversation today. I think it's really interesting what you guys are doing. You're filling a very clear void in the labor marketplace and in a really smart way. Can you tell our audience how they can get in touch with you and also where they can learn more about variable?
So you can get in touch with me in various different ways, like just LinkedIn or direct outreach to my email, which is arubot@variableops.com. But if you're looking to learn more about variable, our website is variableopsops.com. And we have plenty of different case studies. You can get a trial on the portal and just check out the labor marketplace where you can see all the different workers that are available for your operations to tap into.
Beautiful. And that's variable as in V-E-R-Y-A-B-L-E, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Variable ops. Okay, awesome. Well, Adam, thanks for doing this today. Really good conversation. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a blast.
As for the rest of you, I hope to catch you on the next episode of The Manufacturing Executive.
You've been listening to The Manufacturing Executive Podcast. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. If you'd like to learn more about industrial marketing and sales strategy, you'll find an ever-expanding collection of articles, videos, guides, and tools specifically for B2B manufacturers at gorilla76.com/learn. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.